So we are so pleased to welcome today my friend, one-time colleague, classmate, Eric Silver.
Welcome. Oh, that's right. You can't see me dancing.
Nope.
Because I'm in an audio
Your
platform.
Own WWE entrance dance.
With the fake cheering in the background, of course.
And Julia, what are we drinking today?
Well, we're drinking beer.
We are.
We were going to drink. What were we going to drink? Go ahead.
The gross Passover wine?
We were going to drink Manischewitz, because why would we talk about Eastern Europe Jews without Manischewitz? But, of course, somehow I can't find it, so
yeah,
we're drinking.
Yeah, it is not high holidays here in the Upper East Side, so there is no Manischewitz to be found.
That's so true. We are drinking today Anderson Valley Briny Melon Goza, which was my choice. I got it from work. Super, super
Somewhat
good.
Somewhat arbitrarily.
I mean, I like goza. I always get goza.
But
that's
there is some
go-to.
Metaphorical resonance.
Yeah. It's salty, it's briny, and it's all we have, just like the Jews of Eastern Europe would have drank.
That's as good a segue as any
There's going to be a lot of this. Just like, yeah, everyone should just like prep themselves.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
We're going in.
Exactly. I'm going for the yeshiva crowd to bring them into your podcast.
We are so ready and they are so welcome.
All right, so we're talking about the Golem of Prague. There are many golems over time that have been developed by random Jews that have needed them, but the most famous one is the Golem of Prague.
Okay, so, hold up. We're going to have you tell us what a golem is, because some of our listeners might not know.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so is the golem a genre, or is it like one figure that pops up across different, you know, folklore traditions?
So the golem itself is like a character who shows up. Golem itself is like a Hebrew word that means like change, and I will fact check that later and do that because I read it, but I totally forgot.
Listen, standards are low. We are drunk.
Exactly. I'm feeling real briny right now.
We'll fact check when we're dead or sober.
That's why this podcast is a thing. We're like, we have to do no preparation. We just have to sit here and talk about our myths.
Exactly. So it's like, so there's this idea, obviously, in Judeo-Christian creation that you can just make things out of the earth and you say a thing or you write a thing, you use words, and then it becomes a thing.
Right. Adam out of soil, Eve out of Adam's rib.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
God breathed life into Adam and created him out of the earth.
And just as much as our Judeo-Christian God, he says, let there be light, and then there is light. He said, you use words to create a thing.
Yes.
So this is the same thing. There is this thing that you make out of mud, and you use the name of God, or you say a certain kind of words, because Jewish magicians, it's Kabbalah.
Sure.
Jewish magicians, they're crazy, so they're just like, let's make some stuff.
Words have real meaning.
Exactly.
That's something that I love about the Jewish tradition as well.
Yeah, we're pretty cool.
Pretty wordsmithy.
Pretty cool, yeah, exactly. That's why
pretty briny.
Exactly, that's why Billy Crystal can get all of those women in all of those romantic comedies. The power of words. Oh, tell me if Meg Ryan is going to fall in love with him in Harry Met Sally.
Never. Amanda's never seen that movie. Let's just put it out there.
So you can make a golem out of a lot of different ways. So the first thing you do, you gotta take some mud and some dirt and you make it into a human form of some sort. Usually golems are huge because why would you not have a huge thing that you can tell what to do?
While you're at it.
Exactly. You can have a tiny.
Go big or go home.
Exactly. You got to go big or home. And then you can do a bunch of things. So there are many ways to make a golem. All of them involve words. First of all, you can walk around it 7 times while saying God's secret name.
Okay.
Because God has a secret name, obviously.
Yeah.
Is it Yahweh or is just like...
That's the shortening of the secret name.
There's other ones.
Yes, but there's like the real one and like some people know it, but it's like lost to time.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because why would you have a name that wasn't lost to time?
If we had it now, we would have just destroyed ourselves.
Exactly.
There would just be golems just walking around all over the place.
Yeah, like levying taxes and doing that.
That would be horrible. You can write a word on the golem's head. which is Emmet, which means truth. But then if you, in order to kill the golem, you erase the Aleph, so that it just becomes Mem Tov, which is like Mots, which is dead. It means dead.
Words.
Kabbalah is really into words.
Truth to death. That's weird.
Exactly.
But that's very convenient, right? You erase one letter and bam, you've changed the meaning.
Exactly. You just like change it. And then like the numbers are different because you assign number values to Jewish letters.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a whole thing. Anyway, or you can write God's full name on a piece of paper and just like slap it on the golem.
Bam.
And then you can like, and you're like, I don't want this anymore. And you just like pull it off and then he dies again.
It's almost like an on-off switch.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah. So golems are really interesting too because they can't speak. So the whole thing is that you say the words, but of course the golem doesn't have a soul, so he can't say things himself.
So makes total sense.
My question is, because I'm going back to like my Judeo-Christian Genesis thing, is it that like in Kabbalah, in this like Jewish magician thing, they're kind of going off the we're created in God's image and like can do what God does, but from a lesser extent? So like we can't make humans.
Yeah, are these like priests? Are they, you know, or whatever? Are they like rabbis and important people, or is it anyone can do a golem if they know how?
They're closer to rabbi. There are rabbis, but they're also like mystics. So like it's a lot on the words themselves. Like you can look at the words that are in the Torah, and they mean certain things. That's why you ascribe numbers to them, you ascribe deeper meanings to them, and you can use them for magical ways.
You gotta, like, feel them. Like, you know, in Harry Potter, a muggle could say a spell, but the spell won't work because they don't have, like, the magic in them, and they don't, like, have that shit.
Slash, like, you have to access the meaning behind the words. You have to learn, you know, the Torah. You have to learn Hebrew. You have to learn, you know, all the letters and numbers and things.
Exactly. You gotta study it. And first of all, there was never any Hanukkah celebrations at Hogwarts. There were no, just want to point that out,
right?
So we're hanging out in Prague, right? And as things happen in Prague, this was around the time of like the pogroms, and tons of people don't like Jews.
Yep,
as you do. So
as you unfortunately, do as they
all
do.
Exactly, as they all do. This could be any place, which is why there are golems everywhere. But
so as a quick interstitial thing. So golems have been around for a long, long time in Judaism, but there are certain golems that have had, like, you know, lasting power in stories. Is that how it works?
Yeah, like, they're, like, the most famous. I mean, when you can tie something back to a place where it's, like, exclusively Jewish towns, mm-hmm. when they're, like, the rabbis with the capital letters.
Yeah.
And this guy has, like, a nickname, so you know he's a big deal.
Mm.
That's a big thing.
If a rabbi have a nickname in history, it's a big deal.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right, so we got this rabbi. His name is Yehuda Lowell, but he is known as the Maharal of Prague.
Sounds magical.
It's very magical.
That sounds fancy.
So
shit.
He's super fancy. He's very fancy, isn't
he? He sounds like a character that they would put into Indiana Jones to make something sound foreign.
Exactly. That's Indiana Jones and the Golem of Prague.
That's perfect. I want to watch that movie.
Why is that being made?
They are making Indiana Jones 5, so we could get there. We'll write that script for you, Steven Spielberg.
Rabbi, throw me the whip. All right, so about this time, it's like, depending on who's in power, like, everyone's a monarchy right now, even in Prague. So
what century are we in?
I think it's the 14th century.
Okay.
It's the 1500s, so right in the pogrom.
Right in that printing press
We're
era.
Like Black Death going into Renaissance in Eastern Europe.
Exactly, but we're definitely still in the Black Death. So at this moment, the King Rudolph. Why do kings have horrible names? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
King Rudolph is friends with the Maharal because the Maharal, he's very smart. He's hanging out in Prague.
Of course,
he's making exactly. He's making everyone chill as fuck. Just like Jews, just like hang out. Like it's fine. So they're having a conversation. They're like kicking it on like somewhere
in the palace,
as you do. And the Maharal is like, hey, King Rudolph, you know this thing where all of your people think we kill babies and put it in our matzah?
Nope. That's like the worst.
Not a thing.
That's the worst, like.
Oh, it's super a thing. Because the
really?
Blood, this is called the blood libel. The blood libel is literally the lie about blood.
Right.
Is that Jews, as they're super sneaky, go out, they steal Christian babies.
Why?
They kill them. No. They bloodlet them and put them in their matzah.
Not because, a thing.
So this is like around Passover.
Where in the matzah would they put them? It's the matzah is so very white. Flat. It's very so white and also flat.
I don't know, man.
They bleach the blood before putting it in the matzah.
No sneaky Jews bleaching blood.
Right, with magic and whatever.
Exactly. So like this thing has been around forever.
Yeah.
I think it has something to do with, like, just kosher rituals and, like, mm-hmm. you don't eat bread, so, like, matzah's weird when you're thinking about it, mm-hmm. so it's like, how do you make this?
Because it's, like, the staple of Eastern Europe during the time. Be like, why the fuck are you eating
bread? Well, no, it's, like, it's Passover. Yeah. Well, it's Passover, and, like, people are eating bread because that's all you can eat in Eastern Europe.
That and also, like, potatoes. You know, ascribing the worst possible fear to the other who's easy to, you know, make seem evil.
Exactly. So this is, like, this huge thing. It's been going on for a really long time. And the Maharal's like, King Rudolph, let's stop this. And he's like, I'm taking care of it. Not many people believe it anymore. It's fine. So the Maharal's like, all right, that's dope. And then he leaves and goes back to the Jewish ghetto.
That's just, like, he couldn't fight for himself. He's like, okay, if you say so. He's like that passive-aggressive intern who, like, you know, can't get the promotion
slash
that
like
they
the
want.
Boss who's like, come on kid, I'll help you out, and you're like, okay boss, please, thanks.
Exactly. Okay, it's exactly, well, I mean, what are you gonna do? You have this king who somehow likes you and doesn't want to murder you exclusively.
Slash, you're an unprotected minority. What are you going to do?
Exactly. And like many stories that you have told on this podcast and all the time, there's an evil sorcerer who lives in the palace.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. He's like literally Aladdin right now, and I'm totally into it.
His name is Thaddeus.
Oh, that's such a good name.
Okay.
He's an evil priest who hates
Either
Jews.
Either a lawyer or an evil priest who hates Jews.
Exactly. He's an evil priest who hates Jews. And he's also like divine the Christian arts of dark, like the dark magic. Didn't know that was a thing.
Christian arts.
Slash sounds like he's appropriating his perception of Jewish traditions for himself.
I don't know, man. He just hates Jews. So, it's a good read. That's just like a...
Unfortunately, not uncommon.
Exactly. He's just like one of those guys. So, he's the one who's been spreading the blood libel. And he's, like, really mad about it. So, like, I can imagine, like, the Maharal is, like, leaving and he, like, sees Thaddeus in the shadows. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna get you. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Shit. With his serpent,
his serpent staff. He's basically Jafar. He's basically Jafar.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. So...
That's how I'm gonna picture him for the rest of the podcast.
You should. Turban and absolutely all. Will. Yes. Yeah. In Eastern Europe, in the Dark Ages.
The
and
very,
I'm the
very
other
Christian
Thaddeus?
Guy.
Yeah.
You look stupid with your turban. So the Maharal's like, you know what? I'm dealing with this myself. Because, like, the Jews are going to be in danger no matter what. So he goes back to his home and he falls asleep at
Terrible
nighttime.
Idea. Like, he never falls asleep.
As you do. Because either you get killed or the other thing, he has a divine vision.
Yes!
And the words of the Kabbalah come down, ooh. And they rearrange themselves, and they tell him, you should make a golem.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
logical
like...
Logical assumption. Yeah, so but why did I think of that before?
Wouldn't a gigantic enforcer, 14th century Hodor be useful?
Hodor.
Of course it would.
Basically. He's basically
Game of
Hodor.
Thrones reference.
Game of
the season just
Boom.
Started.
We're diversifying. Or Hagrid.
He's like, all right. So he gets his son-in-law to come, and he gets his like most best
Trusted.
Student,
yeah.
his
yeah.
best student because he's a rabbi. He got students for days, and then it's like the middle of the night, and it's cloudy, and they go down into like the Moldau River, which I assume is also
night.
Cloudy, and like they just like get a bunch of mud and cool. they make him into a giant,
Love
and
it.
Then they stand there, and they're like, okay, what do we do? And the Maharal's like, all right. So this is the walk around one.
Yes.
Is this story.
Seven times.
With the carved thing.
No, it's just you
okay.
just say
right.
it. You
right.
just say it. So he's like, all right, so you walk around seven times and you say this. So that happens. And he's like, all right, now you walk around him the other way seven times.
Yes.
And you say this.
Gotta get that Wittershins compliment.
And it's always seven. It's always that, like, you know,
a seven times three, right? Three people doing it seven
yeah.
times each. That's
exactly.
That's quite mystical.
Exactly. And then he does it one more time.
Yeah.
And then he opens his eyes and, like, in some stories he, like, grows hair. In some stories he, like, has fingers now. Ooh. But he's, like, just this, like, naked mud giant who can't sing.
Also, amazing. They didn't think to give him fingers. Like, how is he gonna, like, open doors
Julia,
and shit?
Julia, you can only be so deft with your mud sculpting.
Listen.
Come on.
If they made him into a giant, you would assume that there's, like, enough depth for them to be.
I don't know.
But
it's the middle of the night.
Stuff.
It's dark.
I mean,
it's sweaty.
It's pre-Renaissance, too, so I get it. Everything's flat and terrible. But I guess.
Pre-Renaissance, everything's flat and terrible.
I mean, like, you know, compare, like, pre-Renaissance stuff to then, like, the sculpture
art-wise?
Of, yeah, art-wise. The
yeah,
sculpture
like Michelangelo
of
and
Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Like, well, I'm not
Daniel?
Judging. They literally pulled life out of mud.
Yeah.
You know, they have my two thumbs up.
Okay, so they have this giant mud dude who can't say anything, and so there are a bunch of different stories about this. Some say that they make him do chores around the Jewish ghetto. He's like, he's chopping wood, he's carrying stuff. Because you feel a giant. Yes, absolutely. He's like up on, he's like cleaning gutters and roofs and stuff.
Slash, like, in the absence of city services, probably they were discriminated against, right, by like the crown and the ghetto wasn't tended
so
as other
part
neighborhoods
of the
were.
The city was probably shitty.
Right, you,
exactly.
You draw up your own municipal service.
Exactly.
I get it.
But the big thing, obviously, when he's not chopping wood is he's defending
chopping
the Jewish
heads?
Yes!
Woo!
He's yes, he's defending the ghetto. In the story that I read recently to prepare for this, it was like, you defend the Jewish ghetto like it's the apple of your eye. Which I did not know
was
a phrase
that early on.
Exactly.
Yeah, damn.
Good translations.
All right.
If you're
a patron, you'll get director's commentary in your email, and we will let you know what the origin of apple of our eye is.
Exactly.
Because we don't know right now, but we'll find out for you.
Exactly.
All right. So this guy's hanging out. He's just like walking around. People are gawking at him. And there's a subplot. The B plot of this is that there is Jews were moneylenders because
right.
at the time banks didn't exist and like dealing with money was like looked down upon. So like this
yeah.
guy was
yeah.
lending stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
This really rich guy, he lent a butcher, a Christian butcher,
mm-hmm.
like 5,000 crowns, which is a ton of money.
Sounds like a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And of course, like he won't pay him back. Like, he bothers him, and bothers him, and bothers him, and he's like, I just don't have it.
Also, the butcher as a Christian shouldn't be taking loaned money. Like, that's not...
I think they can take it, but they can't loan it.
That's
I think that
dumb.
Was... I think the prohibition
that's
was
a double standard,
charging.
And I don't like it.
I know.
Right. So, there's this thing that since he's, like, the butcher and the slaughterer of pigs, he has to, like, walk through... The butcher needs to walk through the city with, like... all of his meat is, like, the easiest way to get to the market or something.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure. So it turns out that this butcher started the blood libel lie to get out of paying his debt. And, like, the evil priest Thaddeus was like, that's a great idea. Let's talk about that.
Oh, what
shit.
The fuck? Butcher and Thaddeus? What the fuck?
Good job.
Cool?
Good job, butcher.
So, the butcher is horrible. I'm so glad. This is so nice. You guys are just like, I hate that guy. I hate Jafar. I hate the butcher.
We're the ultimate mythology hype women.
I know.
T-shirt.
I like it. That's perfect. And it's like both of you just like hands in the air.
Gosh.
Hera hype woman should be a T-shirt.
Yeah. Slash like as people raise Christian. So sorry.
Our bad.
Our bad.
I'm just enjoying this so much.
Also, like, breaking in for a second. The golem seems very, like, 400 years before Frankenstein, but Frankenstein's
exactly.
story to
Exactly,
about
that too, yeah.
Which is, like, super cool, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you would hope that a golem doesn't, like, go on a murderous rampage or anything, like Frankenstein's
monster
does. Right,
just, like, the idea
does,
of golem being sentient, golem
yeah.
acquiring language, like, the whole kind of plot twist in Frankenstein is that the creature acquires language.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, becomes a... being before it gets killed, but
yeah.
whatever.
No, it's also a really interesting metaphor for education, right? Like, without education and command of language, like, you can't, you know, affect any change
you,
or be
you don't have
aware.
A soul, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
I have no research on the education one, but I do have research on Frankenstein.
Yes,
Muriel.
Yes,
points.
It.
Point, point,
points.
Points.
We should have a point system for this show. Just saying.
All right, I'm down.
That's
Let's
true.
Institute it.
So, cutting over there, I really like this. So, Frankenstein, the Hulk is also known as a golem.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because even though it was, like, supposedly an accident, we are messing with, like, nuclear reactors.
Gamma rays.
Gamma rays. Mm, and, like, yes. they are trying to do something, and you're creating this thing.
And like, the Hulk, does he have a soul, question mark? That's, like, a thing.
Yes. Exactly. Is he just, like, an extension?
He can't die from natural means.
And he can't speak in real sentences.
Right, doesn't have language. Hulk smash is basically the only thing he can say.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
The other thing, which is actually really cool about the Golem, is that he's the inspiration for robots. So the word robot actually comes from two Czech brothers, Joseph and Karel Čapek,
who were
living in Prague.
They were playing about it, right? Or something?
Yes.
Yes, I remember this.
It's called, like, R-U-R, and it's about, like, the first robot, like, creating something sentient out of metal.
It's so amazing.
And it's literally, that's where the word robot comes from, this play and this story, and it's from Prague. So it's literally from exactly the same place.
Prague.
Gollum, the OG robot.
Yes.
That's also, fun fact, the word glitch is from Yiddish as well.
Really?
So that might be that might be where it comes from. I just thought of that,
what
but I don't have research.
In Yiddish? Same thing.
That's the word. It's glitch. It's like it got pulled to English. It's really just like a small thing that messes thing up. But like I haven't read that play, but I assume since robots are involved, that the robot goes and kills people because there was a glitch in the system.
That's so fantastic.
Thank you, Yiddish.
I love it.
Thank you,
God bless
Yiddish. Okay, so there's a lot of other stuff that's happening at the same time. So, like, the Butcher, there's that B-plot.
Yes.
There's another thing where the Golem is, like, supposedly falls in love with the rabbi's daughter. I don't know about that one. I don't know. There's another one where...
Sounds like a Renaissance insertion into
Shakespeare. Exactly.
They were like, we want to write something that Shakespeare wouldn't write. Golem falls in love with a woman.
Off-brand Shakespeare, like, off-brand...
Comma tragedy.
Like, off-brand Captain Crunch.
Yes.
Like, Captain, you know, whatever, Chew.
That totally
like
is
slightly
name.
Like
sure.
the original thing, but not
it's
quite
Lieutenant
copyright
Chew,
infringement.
It's Admiral Chew to you. Rear Admiral Chew.
Oh,
that's horrible.
Sounds like a brand of tobacco.
That sounds like a rejected West Wing character.
It does.
Rear Admiral Chew. He's not allowed to go on the walk and talk because he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But
love it. So what else does the Golem get up to?
Right, so the Golem gets up to that. The other thing is that, like, as most things that you create, there's some, like, glitches in the system.
Yeah.
So, like, you need to turn off the Golem before sundown on Friday on Shabbat.
Yeah.
Because it's a Jewish Golem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, he freaks out. Yeah, he freaks
yeah.
out if he's still
life.
Alive.
Right, yeah.
So, like, he's, like, pulling out trees. It's, like, it's sundown on Friday, and he's, like, losing his mind, and you have to, like... This is the head one, when you have the thing
mm-hmm.
on the head. So, like, you can literally just, like, try to erase it, or you, like, pull the... Because it's a lot harder to, like, walk around
a raging monster.
Or you can, like, pull the thing
Unless
off
it's a
of
very wide circle.
Yeah, you're just, like, running around the entire
like,
city.
Jesus Christ, just stand still!
Yeah, and you have to do it seven
Not
times.
Not Jesus Christ, my bad.
Definitely wrong. Definitely wrong.
Damn, Abraham, stand still.
Yeah.
They're wrong, too.
That was
close. Is there equivalent to, like, Jesus fucking Christ in Yiddish or Jewish tradition?
No. Just like, well, Yiddish is really funny because...
I mean, you don't take God's name in vain. Like, that shit is serious.
Yes, but Yiddish is crazy because it's really just, like, stacking German words so that you're swearing at non-Jews.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yiddish is just, like, all about, like, putting curses on people, telling them that they're horrible, that their body parts are gonna explode, that, like, they should stop bothering you and leave you alone.
Or
Yiddish
your body
is... So, like, all of Yiddish. Like, you don't need specific phrases. It's just, like, all of Yiddish.
Yeah, that's just, like, the default mode.
Exactly. It's like someone just, like, took German and was just like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you're cool, I hate you. That's just, like, that's Yiddish.
Amazing.
So, yes, exactly. You're eating stuff, but the thing you're eating isn't great, so you gotta kvetch about it, all that.
Yeah, amazing.
So, okay, so we got all these B-plots, right?
Mm, yes.
So the Butcher is finally, like, spreading all these rumors, and he's gonna do something to get out of his money. So because, you know,
he's
if the Jews
bastard.
Are... Yeah, and if the Jews are dead, you don't have to pay back your debts.
I guess that's true.
I also picture the Butcher as Danny DeVito. I don't know why.
That's fair.
I was picturing Mario Batali.
Way better! Way better. Can we do a cross between those two for the Butcher?
I guess it would just be slightly shorter and less pink than Mario Batali.
I was
going to
say Danny DeVito, but with a blonde ponytail.
That's fine. Good / terrible.
So the butcher is in his Crocs for these Eastern European Crocs.
Great.
And he's like...
Clogs.
Orange clogs. Just orange clogs.
Got it.
So, of course, we're in the gross part, as a climax is going to give you.
Of the myth or of the city?
Of the myth. Okay. We're in the climax. Probably this is all happening.
Okay.
So the butcher is like, all right, I'm going to hit this on the head. It's around Passover time, so the Jews are making matzah. Everyone's scared. Let's do it.
This is a dumb baby story I made up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let's do it. So it turns out one of his friends had a child, a daughter, and the daughter had died a few days earlier.
I thought you were going to say he steals the baby, kills it, and then...
Well, this is not much better.
Yes.
So it's buried...
He exploits the death of a child.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's still pretty terrible.
He exhumes the grave.
Oh, dude!
There it is, which is worse.
No.
And he takes a pig carcass,
he
pulls out the guts, puts the baby in it, the guts back on top of it, and, like, while he's on his, like, butcher run, drops the pig in the ghetto and then, like, runs away.
Why Danny DeVito? Why
turducken?
It's a turducken of shame, of horror, because, like, well, the pig's not kosher, there's a baby in it, and the Jews are like, if someone sees this here, we are literally, everyone's gonna
dead.
Die just we're like, literally just dead.
I'm sure the baby isn't kosher either. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
So what do they do?
So they're all freaking out, and then someone like
is
looks.
Is this Shabbat still?
It's Passover now.
Okay.
So everyone's just like running around freaking out, and like someone turns to the left and was like, hey, who's that guy tied up on the tree? It's the butcher. Here's what happened.
The butcher!
Exactly.
Yes!
So they're like, hey, who's that Christian guy tied up on the tree? The golem, who's like, who was thinking to himself, like, that seems creepy. He, like, grabs him, roughs him up a little bit, ties him up, puts him on the tree, and then runs away.
Smart. Smart.
The golem's just like, I don't want to stick around. Bye. And runs away.
Did what he had to do.
And then, so they bring the butcher to King Rudolph, and they're like, this guy did a gross thing.
Yeah.
And King Rudolph's like, okay, we're done with the blood libel.
This guy did a gross and possibly illegal thing, maybe?
Definitely
he
illegal.
Dug up a baby?
Certainly unethical.
Definitely illegal. And the king's like, okay, we're done with the blood libel. No more. Thaddeus, get out of here. And he's like, no.
Lucky Jafar.
And then Jafar's like, no. And so
the sand dune collapses.
Exactly. On top of him. And they're like, where did we get the sand?
He turns
and
into a genie and then gets sucked into the lamp.
All right. So we're in the conclusion now.
All right.
So like everything's pretty cool in Prague for a second. You don't need the golem anymore because he might be in love with a human daughter.
Dangerous.
He might be super dangerous. Exactly.
Right.
So they tell the golem.
GTFOH.
They're much nicer about it, actually.
Well, thank you, Gollum, for your service.
Exactly. They go to the attic of a synagogue.
Okay.
And they're like, Gollum, lay down. And he lays down. And he's like, all right, go to sleep. Just chill out. You're fine. And the Gollum's like, okay.
And then they go.
No, well, not exactly. They reverse the thing.
Yes. So now like, he's dead.
Tell him to go. It's more of like going to sleep, like eternal sleep.
They're like mythically unmaking him.
Yeah.
How would you feel about being unmade, Amanda?
I'd rather be unmade than murdered by a freaking libelous Christian butcher.
It's true.
Or Jafar.
Oh, or Jafar.
Fucking Jafar.
Or the pogroms.
None of those seem good.
Exactly. It's all pretty bad. So they do the thing, and, like, I imagine there's, like, a swell of, like, orchestra music.
And,
like they're
wind.
Really sad.
Yeah.
The awesome thing is, like, most stories is that the golem is just, like, asleep and, like, underneath, like, all of these, like, prayer shawls and, like, books in this attic in Prague somewhere.
Still there.
And he's still there.
A sleeper cell.
Have we, like, gone to all the synagogues and tried to track down the golem? Because I feel like that should be a thing.
Well, it's just, like, there's this other trope in Jewish literature which you might know from Michael Chabon in The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, in, like, some other short stories or some other stuff, and even in The X-Files, which was inspired by this, is that, like, if the Jews ever need him again, they can go there, but then it becomes, like, a whole Holocaust thing, is, like, could have they gotten that when all that stuff, because that's the other time when, like, all of Eastern Europe was messed
up. The butcher of Prague and shit like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the blood libel came up with
it.
All the propaganda as well.
Also, that's very, like, Batman, like, when we need him, he will come.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's there for us. Yeah, and like out of the firmament that God gave us, yes. right? Like we can draw on its strength to give us like a soldier in our time of need. I think that's very metaphorically cool resonant. Shit.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that comes out of this. And like it's pretty cool that like the idea of creation is like pulling directly from this idea of creating like another thing is pulling it directly from the creation myth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah, and that's my story about a large monster who saved the Jews.
Yeah. Cool. Blood libel, not a thing.
Definitely interest, not a thing.
Still kind of morally ambiguous. Hagrid and Hodor, lovely golems.
It's good. So is there like a rating system for like your guests?
No.
You can start one now.
That's good. All right. I would give myself for a drunkenness, definitely a solid 4 because it's salty in my mouth.
Yep.
But for the horrors scale, I would give myself a solid 7. The yes. golem didn't murder anybody, but there was a desecrated baby corpse.
Yes. 7 out of 10 dead. What? 7 out of 10 dead babies?
7 out of 10 dead babies, exactly.
I think it's a good scale. A solid 6 on the kind of creepy, kind of cool scale.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That is our go-to scale.
I'd give
scale.
It an 8 out of 10 on metaphorical resonance.
Nice.
That's fair. And there were no women in this one, so I'm going to give it a 0 on the Bechdel test.
That's exactly. okay. That's okay.
That's good scale.
Yes. I like it.
We ourselves did pass the Bechdel test, though, so that's plus.
Right, just our people in the room.
Just our being here.
That's yes. fair. Unless you were mentally objectifying the golem at the entire time.
I was.
No women got objectified in the making of this podcast.
Only the golem.
No monsters were objectified.
Does he wear clothes?
Oh, yeah, he's totally naked the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's a whole thing about putting clothes on.
Is there, like, dude running
hold
around
on, hold
there?
On, hold on, hold on. Is there, like, a Ken doll bulge, or is there, like, a golem schlong?
I mean, they had a story where they specifically had to make him fingers, so I assumed the dick came in with the fingers.
Maybe that's what they were doing instead of making the fingers.
They were, like, oddly specific about that. Be like, make sure he doesn't have a foreskin.
Or, like, we only have... No, he... It does or doesn't?
Doesn't.
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 Doesn't. Doesn't.
I'm going to go ahead and say that there was no golem schlong.
Aw, man.
Because something tells me that 3 devout... Like, rabbinic, like,
the
best rabbi in all of Prague, his best student, and the rabbi's, like, son-in-law, they're not going to be concerned about having, like, a real peen.
They're focused on, like, the survival of their community.
Exactly. And they're like, I don't want to put a peen on this. I just care about the mud.
Okay.
I think a good dick is a mitzvah, so.
Oh, no.
I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. And we're done.
Spirits was created by Julia Schaffini and me, Amanda McLaughlin. It's edited by Eric Schneider with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Subscribe to Spirits on your preferred podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr at Spirits Podcast.
On our Patreon page, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, you can sign up for exclusive content like behind-the-scenes photos, audio extras, director's commentary, blooper reels, and beautiful recipe cards with custom drink and snack pairings.
If you like the show, please share with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.